This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turns out there is more than one mall cop, Donnie. It's not just Paul Blart. There's a show called Mall Cops of America. And one of the mall cops was a dog called Sully. And he's famous. And there's also some other guys on there who are famous. Famous from this show, Mall Cops of America. I know you and I on the last Donnie Football Friday, along with Limits, were thinking it was Paul Blart and nobody else.
So you're telling me it's a dog or just one dog? And then a bunch of guys.
It's a dog named Sully, and then a bunch of guys who are mall cops. Have you seen the show Mall Cops of America?
What channel?
I don't know. Do you know, Sean?
No, I'm not in.
Okay, it's from the mall in Minneapolis. You ever been there, the Mall of America?
I actually haven't. I've been to Minnesota before, but I never got to go to the Mall of America. I bet. I wonder if that was like the alternative, since they had to cancel the show Cops, if they went to just Mall Cops of America.
They might have. Yeah, they might have. I just wanted to point that out before I forgot. Are you sitting in a high chair? Why are you so high on the screen there?
I don't know. I'm just sitting in like Sarah's little office chair.
Okay. Because the top of your head is clipped off the screen. It looks like you're in some sort of throne or... perhaps an adult.
I think it's just the way I'm angling my phone.
Okay. Or perhaps an adult height chair. What does your shirt say?
Greensburg Salem football, baby.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Also, to tie up a loose end here, you defeated our friend intern Dom yesterday in a Thanksgiving food draft. He got the first pick. And one of the categories was meats, right? Meat, vegetable, side dish, and dessert were the four categories.
Meat, two sides, and then a dessert.
And a dessert. You gave him the first pick. He took turkey, which is like getting Michael Jordan with the first pick. I mean, you have to do a lot to ruin that team. And he did. He wound up taking pumpkin. What was the thing he took?
Pumpkin rolls.
Yeah, pumpkin roll. Pumpkin pie roll or some crap like that as his dessert. What is he doing?
And you said he took corn as one of his sides.
Yeah, corn, just plain corn as a side. And he winds up losing to you in the late innings. That was really something to officiate.
I had a little feeling that he was going to screw that up. So that's why I gave him the first pick.
Yeah, pumpkin roll. That's what it was. Now, I came in today. I asked Seth because I saw intern Dom at the beginning of the day. And he was awfully salty with me. He said, I can't believe you did that yesterday. You gave Donnie Football the win over me. I had turkey. I won. Plus, people have pumpkin roll. I said to Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers in front of Dom. I said, answer me a question honestly. When you think Thanksgiving desserts, is pumpkin roll a staple? And what did you say, Sean?
Negative.
Negative. Donnie, he blew the draft late.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think he panicked because I went with back-to-back sides. I know you're not a green bean casserole guy, but I knocked out stuffing and green bean casserole because I knew he already took the main meat, and I basically had to bank on him screwing up, and he did.
Yeah, it's like NFL coaching. Just wait for the other guy to screw up at the end, like Matt Eberflus. What did you think of that, Donnie?
Oh, my goodness. I was thrilled with how good that game ended up being because I was – when I brought it up yesterday, I thought this would easily be the best game of the day, and it was. I thought Williams was great in the second half, by the way.
Yeah,
but
he was.
The end of that game was legitimately – all Tomlin jokes aside, people can say whatever they want. That was some of the worst clock management I have ever seen in the sport of football, not even at the NFL level. High school, college, peewee football, whatever level you want to put in there, that was some of the worst clock management I've seen in my life.
Are you able to hear clips if we play them, Donnie?
I assume so. Yeah, I can hear pretty much everything else.
Well, Jimmy Johnson agree with you. Play for him the beginning of the Jimmy Johnson thing in a second here, Sean. I mean, our topic to start the show, obviously I wanted Steelers-Bengals, but I've been watching football for 50 years, and that was the worst end-game coaching I've ever seen, aside from maybe Pete Carroll, obviously, in the Super Bowl, and what's his name? John McVay from the Giants at the end of the Miracle in the Meadowlands when he didn't just kneel on the ball. Instead, they handed it to Larry Zonka. And Herman Edwards picked it up. In terms of time management, this was the worst coaching decision, I think, in the history of football and one of the worst in the history of sports. And for people who thought I might be overdoing it, this was Jimmy Johnson after the game, Donnie.
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game.
Wow. 70 years. And then here's why I think Eberflus actually got fired. Like, I'm not sure he would that they wouldn't have waited till the end of the year if he just comes out at the news conference and says, yeah, I mean, the whole country just saw 40 million people just saw me not call timeout when I had a timeout and the game end. So here's Eberflus instead. This is what he said after the game.
Yeah, I like what we did there.
Donnie! What happened? What happened there? Why would he say that?
I have no idea. Like, I laughed as hard at that as I did at the actual end of the game. Like, we were at Sarah's mom's house yesterday helping her get ready, and I think I scared both of them into thinking, like, something serious actually happened, because I'm watching the end of that game while they're, you know, getting food ready, or, you know, Sarah's putting together like a meat and cheese board. And I said, oh my God, this is a disaster. And they both like looked up and gasped like something actually serious happened. And I said, no, the Bears just had a golden opportunity to at worst tie the game. And they just didn't use a timeout.
Oh my God.
I honestly, like, we see stupid things happen in sports sometimes. And sometimes the moment is like too big for either the coach or the player. And that was one that topped a lot of boards there. Like, given that you're under the microscope of a national audience, you're in a standalone game. That's going to be, if it's not number one, it's going to be one of the highest viewed games all season. Everybody saw that. Everybody saw how he handled it.
Right.
He just said, yeah, I like what we did.
40 million people, I think, something like that. And then it led into the worst decisions in coaching decisions in sports history. I mean, Donnie, it's one thing to like call a play that doesn't work, like Pete Carroll. Now, granted, that was the Super Bowl. It's another thing to not take Bill Buckner out of the game, even though you took him out of games most of the year if you're John McNamara and the famous Bill Buckner play in 86. I don't know if you were aware of morning wigs. This is what they called it on ESPN. Remember the old Page 2? They had a list of this. And number 3 on all-time coaching list blunders was morning wigs boner. unfortunately titled for sure there. Correct, Donnie?
What was that? What was that from?
Hold on.
You got to be careful if you Google that one.
I wouldn't do that on the work computer.
No, this was a sudden death overtime, and Morningwig coaching the Lions said, "Let's give the Bears the ball." So the Bears were on the other side of this one, and they went down and they won the game.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm familiar with this one now.
So that was number three, and then the miracle at the Meadowlands. This might be the top five worst coaching decisions management situations ever in the history of football. You just heard Jimmy Johnson, one of the great coaches ever, say he's never seen it in 70 years of coaching at every level. I couldn't. My wife was watching it too. Neither one of us could believe what was happening. I thought they made a mistake.
I didn't have any timeouts left. I would also love to hear, which, you know, I mean, we never will. We do get a lot of access to NFL teams and NFL games. I would love to hear the audio going on through the coaching headsets when all of that is happening. Like, there had to be somebody screaming to take a timeout there.
Had to be. I would hope. I mean, this makes
me. I also kind of wondered, like, I know it's normally not the players that jump and do it first, but, and I know Caleb Williams is a rookie. I was surprised there wasn't a player that was like, hey, we should probably take a TO here. Like, he just took a sack and we got to give ourselves a chance.
At the very worst, you call timeout right before the snap and you just try the field goal. It was still in the 58, 59 yard range. I mean, this makes Morningwig's boner look like nothing at all. Really? And Tomlin did the same thing when he kicked to Lamar Jackson that one year in overtime. And I know it worked out sort of because the Steelers stopped him, got the ball, Juju fumbled. I thought that was insane. I thought it was insane to give Lamar Jackson first crack in overtime. I don't care how good the Steelers, even back then, there were already signs that they were controlling Lamar pretty good. I thought that was crazy.
I actually forgot about that until you brought it up because I knew that they didn't score on that first drive. That was the Duck Hodges game, too.
Yes. That was the game.
Duck Hodges came into the game.
Carts and things of that nature that Tomlin said. Brian, the Batconian mongoose, asked Tomlin about that. But we have to move on, Donnie, very quickly here. Your vision for this game, what kind of game is this going to be, and do the Steelers win?
I actually do think the Steelers find some way to pull this off, and I think it's more for me that nobody thinks they will. Like, it seems like after what happened in Cleveland, we got so many people who wanted to jump all over it and say, I don't think they'll win another game, or maybe they win one when they play the Browns again. But we know how Mike Tomlin tends to coach and how his teams tend to play when they're the ones that are viewed as the team with no shot to win. Now, yeah, sometimes they do lose those games, and sometimes it's not pretty, but there's also cases where they go into road venues, they're a somewhat small road underdog, and they pull it off, and it looks like what happened a week plus before that is all gone. Obviously, they have to keep up with Joe Burrow. That's going to be the huge thing. But I was amazed yesterday. I was going through some of the games that Burrow has had this season.
Yeah.
The man is having an MVP season, and his team is 4-7. I think it's a pretty great example of, or another great example of why the win-loss stat is not one that should be singular to quarterbacks. It's almost as irrelevant as when you see some, you know, pitcher win and loss numbers in baseball.
Yeah.
He has had some insane games, and they still find a way to lose. That defense, and I know what you're worried about is, well, the Ravens had a bad defense, and they couldn't score, and they couldn't come alive against Cleveland until their backs were really against the wall, and the defense made a big play. So that's obviously a holdup if people don't think the Steelers will win this game because of how bad their offense has been out of the gate, at least, and they could fall behind early. But that Bengals defense, they have been spotted 30-plus points so many times by Joe Burrow. He has had games where he's had 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, and they still find a way to lose.
Yes.
Like, it's the opposite of a great team when you say, well, by hook or by crook, they'll find a way to win. The Bengals are like the opposite. Joe Burrow gives them a Herculean effort every single week. Jamar Chase puts up massive numbers, and they still find a way to lose.
Do you still want to see Justin Fields on the field at all in these games, Donnie?
I would cut it down from what they tried to do in Cleveland, because it felt forced in Cleveland. And they also just have to have better communication when they do this stuff with the quarterbacks and with the offense. Because we heard how Russell Wilson last week said after the game, like, yeah, neither of us really had a clue when he was coming in. And you have to have that communication down so things go more smoothly this time around. I do think there are still opportunities to get that guy in the game, for sure. You get maybe like a second and goal from the 3-yard line. Maybe it's second and 2 and you're in the red zone, something like that. But I feel like last week, and maybe you feel the same way, it felt more random to me. Like, they were just saying, we got to get Justin in the game to keep him engaged. And then they would either make a mental mistake before the snap, or the play would just be so off kilter with him thrown in there. So I still think a few snaps a game would be good, but I would cut it down and figure out a better way to make it more smooth all around by getting him in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, my main problem last week was having him instead of your starting quarterback throw the ball late. So let's have a prediction and a score, John. Donnie. I was going to say Johnny. That's my brother's name, and I apologize.
I do think the Steelers will find a way to break through and put up points. I'm going to say that they win this game 30-27. I think they hit the 30-point barometer against this Bengals defense, because I also feel like they know how important this game is on Sunday. They don't want to start a little bit of a skid in a point in the schedule that they know does not get any easier, and there are going to be teams in the AFC creeping up. I mean, they're only a half game up in the AFC North, and we know how good Lamar is against NFC teams. They're playing the Eagles on Sunday, but I wouldn't just chalk that up as a Ravens loss by any means. So there's a real chance that, A, they're no longer the AFC North leader if things don't go their way on Sunday, and B, they're going to also help keep in another team in the AFC that I think would be very dangerous come playoff time, that being the Bengals, if they win that game. They could deliver a true knockout punch to Cincinnati's playoff hopes, and maybe I'm just afraid of Joe Burrow, but given the way we've seen that guy play in the postseason, I want no part of him. I don't care what that record is for Cincinnati. If they get in, I do not want to see Joe Burrow.
All right, Donnie, we'll wind up with this. We have your prediction. I need Urine Limits predictions for the next segment, as I think Limits is cheating, by the way, don't you? How did he get to 500 on the picks? I think he got...
I know he brought up that stupid boxing match, and we should have been smarter there, Joe, when we picked that one, because we both just so happily wanted to see Mike Tyson,
I know,
not look like he was nearly 60 years old, but we should have been smarter there.
That was worth 3 points. That pick was worth 3 points. That's why he's beating us.
Yeah, and otherwise, like, I don't know. I mean, I must be falling behind on the college games or something, because I feel like I'm not that bad on the NFL picks.
I know. It's been horrible. I'll leave you with this, Donnie. Arthur Smith yesterday addressed this North Carolina situation where they've contacted him. I don't know. People have mixed feelings. Ray Fittipaldo believed that he shut it down. I think he left it wide open. He never said not interested. That's all he had to say. Flattered, not interested. Instead, he went into a minute-long soliloquy on how that's not his focus right now. So question A, do you think there's any smoke there? Question B, what grade would you give Artie so far with the Steelers?
I guess there's a little bit of smoke there. I don't think it's time for, if you like Artie Smith, I would say I don't think it's time for you to panic like he's going to just bolt for a college head coaching job, because I'm sure that even though he doesn't want to completely turn down that idea right now, since they're in the midst of their season, he will probably have to at least consider the pros and cons there, I would think. But given how muddy things get with college football, I would honestly want no part of it. I would much rather be in the pro game and be and a coordinator of some sort than be in the college game. And I would give him a B so far for the season. I know that might sound generous because he's coming off what was his worst game in Cleveland. But before that, I thought he was doing a pretty steady job.
They didn't score a touchdown the week before that, Donnie.
Okay, so he's coming off two bad games. But his offense, it also does come down to execution to some degree. The offense at some point has to punch it in when they're in the red zone. So it's not like they haven't been able to really move the ball, which I think speaks better for an OC. But they get down into the red area, and they don't know what to do with themselves, which is kind of annoying, because all we heard this offseason, one of the pros for Russell Wilson, was how good he was in the red zone last year.
Yeah.
And he has seemingly become the opposite. But all in all, I do not think that Smith has done a bad job.
Me neither. Me neither.
As the OC.
I just think red zone, third downs, and short yardage are problem areas, and all of a sudden, so is the AFC North. So while he's a clear upgrade on Canada, I can't go above B-, C+, but, you know, his big exams are coming up. Thank you, Donnie. You're a wonderful man, and we'll get back to a real Donnie Football Friday next Friday as we get ready for a very spicy Cleveland rematch.
Thank you, Joe. I'm looking forward to that.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline that Donnie was on, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Some very juicy matchups in the college and pro game with our local teams, with AFC North teams. There's a really good Sunday night, or I should say, I can't remember now, Sunday or Monday night. What is Bills 49ers? That's Sunday night?
Yes.
Really good Sunday night game we're going to pick. Why don't you and I do that next?
Okay.
And
I'm a Niners fan. You're a Bills fan, so we got something going there.
There we go. Plus, we have the Ravens are going to be involved in maybe the game of the week against the Eagles. All kinds of things to talk about as we wrap it up here on Pomp.